Now, we will go to side two of this broadcast. This is number 566, October the 11th. It's 1982, and this is the second broadcast on KAZU-FM in Pacific Grove. Last week, I talked about the dangerous connections of Grace Kelly in the Vatican. I'm not going into those, as I said before. There were 10 important stories that I was going to do, but I'm going to push them aside until next week. One is a warning in the LA Times about the Opus Dei. That's that group inside the Vatican linked to Roberta Calvi and to Licio Gelli and the intrigues going on that is described as a cancer on the church, the most dangerous malignant growth that is occurring. And I've talked about it. We'll get back to it. In Argentina, there was a murder down there, an important murder of a person who works with the military junta, but allegedly was from the left. It's that marriage of left and right, again, that I want to go into. The Argentine press has stopped all TV and news coverage of Licio Gelli and the scandal of the secret Masonic lodge and their death threats to news media people if they talk. Roberta Calvi's wife has insisted they open up the investigation of his death. He was murdered in London. It was not suicide. There are a lot of articles on arrests of right-wing terrorists that were disguised as left, one of my favorite subjects, murders related to the Vatican and the banks last week, and more scandals. But I'm going to shelve those and go into the second side, Grace Kelly and 20th Century Fox. Grace Kelly, the businesswoman, I was talking about the web around her. There's an article in the Philadelphia Inquirer about some people who were in Monaco when she died, and they were asking questions about the accident and the situations of the car or her body or the discrepancies. And then the person writing in the Philadelphia Inquirer said, does that matter very much what they ask? How much did they ever know about Grace Kelly? In other words, don't bother yourself about the details. You didn't know anything and you won't know more. So forget it. It's all speculation on your part. We don't know very much about her. Now, Forbes had an interesting article this past week about Grace Kelly, and Forbes magazine, of course, is a business magazine. It's like the Wall Street Journal, only comes out not as often, and it's a magazine. It's called The Fairy Tale Business, and this article tells how her vision of Monaco was a very successful as an executive, and in the last 26 years, the gambling casino, the SBM, the nickname, the initials for it, Société de Bains de Mer, that company owns Monaco's major hotels and the casinos, and she was very serious about working with the company. They said her only visible business role, was as a member of the 20th Century Fox board. The company was taken over by Denver oil man Marvin Davis in 1981. But Princess Grace had a lot of influence. Forbes magazine said her interest in SBM in Monaco, according to their reports, dated virtually from the moment of her wedding, with good reason. Last week, I talked about her Rockefeller connections, her model connections like Candy Jones or Jerry Ford, the MGM, Herbert Hoover connections, and I'll go into details of those each week, some other parts of it. She was interested in controlling the tables, of easing Aristotle Onassis out. You notice his son was murdered, a fellow still in jail for murdering his son. Onassis died. The empire crumbled, and Onassis was sabotaged by Robert Mayhew and the Las Vegas syndicate working under, again, with the Howard Hughes people, the CIA. They sabotaged for the Saudi Arabian oil transport. They wanted to get ease out Aristotle Onassis, and Grace has worked with that team ever since she's been over there. She worked with the group. They were in charge of the hotels, the casinos, the opera houses, the restaurants, the discotheques. And the fiscal year ended in July. There was $90 million with a profit of $1.8 million. Everybody's losing. They were ahead. And this is about the business savvy that the article says there will be trouble because even before her sudden death, there were hints that all was not well in the magical kingdom. Bernard Combermale, who was C-O-M-B-E-M-A-L-E, if you want the spelling, Bernard C-O-M-B-E-M-A-L-E, who was brought in from Philadelphia to upgrade the Monaco tables and casinos in 1978, has deserted the ship and has been replaced by André Saint-Mellux, M-L-E-U-X, a longtime minister of state and crony of Prince Rainier's. So things weren't going well in the business world. She was in it from the minute she married. She jumped right into it. You have this image of, you know, the mother with the kids on the breast. All I want to be is a good mother, you know, sitting home taking care of the kitties. She was a businesswoman, and as I say, the visible role was at 20th Century Fox, and she also had to be a pretty tough bun to be running around with the Monaco gaming tables and that international crowd that's over there in Monte Carlo. Another article in Forbes, which just about describes the scene, this was January the 21st, 1980, at the time that Grace Kelly was on the board of 20th Century Fox, and also Mr. Rogers, the attorney for the Shah of Iran, was on the board of 20th Century Fox. They really had a who's who, and I won't go down all the board members now. Mr. Stanfield, the Fox chairman at the time, said, and this is a large heading in Forbes magazine, if 20th Century Fox's recent management of Hevel were filmed, it would be too bloody for your kids to see. Never mind, says Chairman Stanfield, think of the message. And Stanfield was chairman. He was a graduate of Annapolis in the class of Jimmy Carter. And he was telling about the purchase of 20th Century Fox. It would be too bloody for your kids to see. Think of the message. And he warned. Now, the takeover of 20th Century Fox was described August the 2nd, 1981. On the board came Edward Bennett Williams, the attorney for the John Hinckley family and for Robert Vesco and for John Connolly and Richard Helms and the Mullen Associates that covered the Watergate gang. Remember that out of Colorado came Marvin Davis, who bought 20th Century Fox. In Colorado lives James McCord, who set up a planned military coup for the country. And out of Colorado come some interesting characters, and the attorney, the comedy dominator for the mob, for the CIA, for this business clique is Edward Bennett Williams. And then the LA Times in this one article, the August the 2nd, 1981, and I might have had this a long time ago when they came over and took the Pebble Beach area and bought that up. They listed Kirk Kerkorian, Princess Grace of Monaco, and a who's who of the business world. But Grace is listed among these men, the only woman among this gang of thieves and whatever you want to call them. Another article that I did mention a while back, I think broadcast 502, Henry Kissinger was put on the board of 20th Century Fox, along with Edward Bennett Williams. Gerald Ford was already appointed a close friend of Marvin Davis, and Ford is also director of GK Technologies in Great Britain, Tiger Industries, the Flying Tiger, Santa Fe Industries that was bought by Kuwait over in, the Kuwait scandal that I want to get into, Shearson Loeb Roads and AMAX, and he's also on the Warner and other board of directors, our great former president who was on the Warren Commission. Now, all these people touch bases when Kennedy was murdered, and they're still in the news today. Another important article in the New York Times, Fox's Dollars and Cents Allure, and it tells about 20th Century Fox. They own Pebble Beach Corporation, they own Pebble Beach Lodge, three famous golf courses, the Del Monte Forest, a total of 2,500 acres of land, most of it in Pebble Beach, the rest in Monterey and outlying areas. These are the people that have the control of our little area out here, if that feels very comfortable. I mean, they are really the who's who of what has been going on in espionage for the last 30 years and covering up the particular assassinations that I've been studying. Another article. Now, this is Grace's companion. These are her companions. That's why I mentioned this. Another article in the Los Angeles Times about Marvin Davis and Frank Sinatra, because Frank has always been very close to Grace Kelly, not just when they made a movie and she went to Europe, but ever since. It had nothing to do with the 20th Century Fox when she was on the board. He still has kept close contact with Grace, he had, and he had close contact with Marvin Davis. There's an article, Old Blue Eyes Taking Turn for Charity, and it tells about his long contact and association with Marvin Davis and how he was going to raise money for their favorite charities and sing for them. And the Davises were among those present when Sinatra gave a small sit-down dinner in Palm Springs to celebrate the 25th anniversary of Princess Grace and Frank Sinatra. So their contacts have kept up. Now, this last week, 20th Century Fox, the corporation we're talking about, that she was on the board, ran into a little bit of trouble. They're maybe into a lot of trouble, but the trouble only got to be exposed because they're investigating the murder of a lawyer from 20th Century Fox. One article in the Monterey Herald, 20th Century Fox president quits company. Grace died on the 15th of September. And October the 6th, the 20th Century Fox Film Company will get a new top executive. The president, C. Joseph Labonte, big L, small a, capital B-O-N-T-E, Labonte, is deserting the company for personal reasons. And Jerry announced Jerry Greenberg. Fox is the parent company of Pebble Beach. The owner, Marvin Davis, announced that Gerald Bergman, a Fox director, who once worked in Fox's largest lending, Continental Illinois National Bank, has been appointed executive vice president. So while Gerald Ford and Henry Kissinger and Madame Chenault and Grace Kelly are associated with 20th Century Fox and with Frank Sinatra and so forth, the largest lender was Continental Illinois, a bank that has recently lost several hundreds of millions. I have the figures here, and it's hard to tell exactly how much because there's so many discrepancies. But they were involved in the Drysdale scandal with the Chase Manhattan, with the Oklahoma, the Penn Bank, and also they were the lending bank for Cardinal Cody with his $1 million fund. He conveniently got a heart attack and died before that was investigated. He had a woman in Florida going back and forth just as Mr. Bloomingdale did, Alfred Bloomingdale, Cardinal Cody from Chicago. His funds were tied up with the Continental Illinois, as was Michael Sindona, the banker for the Vatican who's serving time in jail and wanted for five murders. They were all working in this particular bank, and an executive from the Continental Illinois, who was a director of 20th Century Fox, is going to be the vice president, announced this week. The change came. The change, the president resigned. The new vice president from the Continental Illinois, who supplies the money for Fox, the change came because the Los Angeles County District Attorney's Office is investigating Fox for possible misappropriation of funds. Company officials said they will cooperate. They are missing maybe as much as $1 million. Well, in my research, I found that whenever they say a million, it goes up to 9 or 10. If they say 10, it's 20. And if there's 20 million missing, it's 50 million. So let's start with $1 million. But the point is that Grace has been affiliated with all these people. As soon as she dies, the president resigns. The bank that funded the organization that she was on the board is collapsing and tangled into scandals of murder, missing millions, and you name it. Another article, Los Angeles Times, along these lines. District Attorney's Office and the Studio Clash on a Financial Probe. 20th Century Fox accused the Los Angeles Police Department and the District Attorney's Office of a witch hunt. They claimed there are irregularities, and Burton Monash, M-O-N-A-S-C-H, Executive Vice President of 20th Century Fox, asserted that a special entertainment task force has been set up by District Attorney John Vandekamp because they have received information of hanky-panky at Fox Studio. The furor began when The Hollywood Reporter printed a story about a producer, Daniel Melnick, M-E-L-N-I-C-K, involved with financial irregularities. And the entertainment task force is looking into possible misappropriation of funds, embezzlement of funds. You know, a new book just came out about these problems over Columbia Studio. And when that story broke with the Columbia Studios executives, two of them went to 20th Century Fox, and Begelman and Kerkorian were MGM. And they split between those two studios, and now those two studios are having problems. So again, I go back to the point, whether it's Paul Exeld in Nevada or Kennedy with the crops and the spoiling chemically of food and products to break a nation, or whether it's a corporation, or Fritz Kramer, if he's Hitler's Kramer and he's running our Pentagon. If you find something and you don't follow it to the nth degree till you're absolutely satisfied that they can't function, if you don't lock them up, make sure they don't function, continuing what they did before, you just know that you have to have trouble later. Now, the LA Times story, October the 1st, 1982, goes into the refusal of Fox to cooperate unless they get a subpoena. And the man that they're concerned about, this Mr. Melnick, he's an independent producer that briefly, he came over there and signed a private contract with Fox, but briefly he was president of Columbia Pictures. In 1978, he was appointed to that post by Chairman Alan Hirschfeld, who left Columbia and went to 20th Century and took Melnick with him. Hirschfeld is now chairman of 20th Century Fox. Okay, Now, when they went to investigate this case, they had trouble. It said at the end of Melnick's contract with Fox Studio, they were investigating the case when Norman Gary, the attorney for Mr. Melnick, died. Now, this article says it was a self-inflicted gunshot wound on August the 18th. Another case like Global Resources, Global International Resources, or many of the subjects I've been talking about, when the investigation goes, you get either an apparent heart attack or an apparent suicide by a gunshot. Okay, the gun's in their hand and they're dead. Now, Mr. Monash is vice president of 20th Century Fox. Marvin Davis owns it. Daniel Melnick has been suggested for financial irregularities. He was formerly president of Columbia when they were having financial irregularities. Alan Hirschfield was chairman of Columbia and left and went to Fox. Now, when they're going into the story, August the 18th, this Norman Gary dies of a bullet wound just at the height of the investigation or when it's beginning. Now, they were working out contracts, and there was question about money or hanky-panky at the Fox. Now, interestingly enough, this article says this Mr. The attorney that was shot, Norman Gary, was the attorney for Gene Hackman and also Marlon Brando. Now, Marlon Brando made the formula at MGM. That was the story about I.G. Farben. This is his attorney who's now dead. And Gene Hackman is the son of Mary Martin. And if you remember, a few weeks ago, I did a program on October the 4th. No, it was a little earlier that on the suspicious circumstances on the death of Mary Martin that I, not the death, she lived, the death, her best friend died, her business manager and best friend died. She almost died. The accident that I felt, there's more to it than meets the eye. This was September 13th, 1982. I talked about the mysterious circumstances about the car crash, about Mary Martin. And curiously enough, and it doesn't prove anything at all, but the man who ran into them comes from Denver, Colorado, and the car he used was a Mr. Mueller in Colorado. And we're talking about an area where the heads of all the group that we're talking, the money and the funds come out of Denver, Colorado. And the guy who crashed the car that ran into Mary Martin and Janet Gaynor and killed her business manager was a longtime associate of a Mueller, a Mr. Mueller who lives in Colorado. Another interesting connection to this saga that I don't want to get too complicated, but on August the 18th, this attorney for Gene Hackman and Marlon Brando and for Mr. Melnick at 20th Century Fox, I went to enter that date into a calendar where I keep dates because they do overlap, and we'll call them coincidentally until we know better. But on that exact date is when the two insurance men disappeared from Los Angeles that I described on this air October the 4th. One, the insurance executives, the sleazy outfit, treasurer tax collector here, Thomas White III, and I put on the printed sheet that goes with the tapes, check him out, that these insurance executives that he gave an open-ended account at Wells Fargo in Monterey, California, disappeared. One car was found at the airport, and one was in a driveway. They haven't been seen since. They absconded with funds from banks, from investments, mostly in Los Angeles of accident insurance, but there was an open-ended fund up here in Monterey. Those guys took a powder, and remember that the investment up here, there's Pebble Beach Corporation that we're talking about, these people, and related to our tax collector here. I can't say exactly what this means, but they're these men that absconded with over $400,000 in Los Angeles were handling accounts of the tax collector up here in Pebble Beach, Monterey area. And at the same time, that same day, a man who represents Marvin Davis, who owns Pebble Beach, was murdered. An attorney was killed in Los Angeles. Now, in the process of investigating his death, and they're reopening it again, they came into these problems of the missing money. And as I say, the president of 20th Century Fox stepped down, and the new vice president is a man from Continental Illinois in Chicago. The Los Angeles Herald Examiner had an article September 30th. The DA task force to question Fox on rumor of mishandled funds. It's sort of like a deja vu of the Columbia Studios, but it's the same people shifting around and bringing in new characters. But you see, when you're working with Frank Sinatra and Anna Chenault and Henry Kissinger and Jerry Ford, and Grace Kelly, and this combine, they shouldn't have any problems of this kind at all. And the man who left the corporation said, you know, the company was too bloody for your children to see. He said, he warned in Forbes, just watch, you know, what I'm saying and see what happens. The Herald describes the reporter wrote that Melnick attributed the start of the rumor of his trouble to people that were trying to find the answer to Norman Gary's death with those who couldn't understand why I left Fox. That's a quotation and from the Herald Examiner. And again, this is the crowd. Besides Grace being tangled in the Vatican, I could do 10 consecutive weeks of how she fits into all these other pieces of the puzzle. The reporter wrote that Melnick from the studio attributed the start of the rumor of the missing money and the $1 million and the kickbacks between writers and producers that occurred or contracts negotiated in a conspiracy to embezzle funds from the company. This was written and attributed to the start of the rumor based on the coupling of people who were trying to find the answer to Norman Gary's death, G-A-R-E-Y, with those who couldn't understand why I left Fox, his attorney. Another story, Burton Monash, M-O-N-S-C-H, is furious, 20th Century Fox. He is furious that they are investigating the $1 million in studio funds that disappeared, the kickbacks, the conspiracy to embezzle funds from the company. Burton Monash, the executive vice president, is totally outraged. So that the attorney who passed away has these famous clients, Marlon Brando and Gene Hackman, and also that organization is involved with people up here in the peninsula. They own the peninsula. Another important story from the Los Angeles Times this week that makes it even larger and weirder. 20th Century Fox gives Jay Emmett an office in New York as courtesy. This is October the 6th, Los Angeles Times. Jay Emmett, a former top executive of Warner Communications, where Jerry Ford's on the board, who pleaded guilty last year to federal charges of transporting stolen checks, is working as a consultant in the New York office of 20th Century Fox Film. Now, I mean, get this picture. The lawyer's dead. These people are disappearing. A man has pleaded guilty to this kind of work, federal charges, transporting stolen checks, and he's used as a consultant at 20th Century Fox in New York when on the board are our big super spies, the protege of Fritz Kramer, Henry Kissinger, Gerald Ford from the Warren Commission, Anish Chenault from the narcotics of Southeast Asia during the Vietnam, and close ties to Frank Sinatra and Princess Grace. The article says Mr. Emmett is performing specialized consulting for 20th Century Fox, although it's unclear with whom he is doing the consulting work. Emmett does not have a firm deal with Fox. Emmett was connected with the office of Alan Hirschfeld, the company's chairman and chief executive, a secretary said. He's working in the New York office. Emmett, 54, is waiting sentencing. He pleaded guilty in February 1981 to two counts of transporting stolen checks. The government dropped 10 other counts, including the acceptance of cash bribes and diversion of $156,000 in Warner funds to the now-defunct Westchester Premier Theater in Tarrytown, New York. Now, that gets into Frank Sinatra and the mob syndicate, and I could do a whole broadcast on the Westchester area and the drugs and the banking scandals going on in Westchester. So that he was brought in on those charges, pleaded guilty, 10 charges were dropped, and maybe next week I'll read an article that was in Overthrow Magazine, parts of it, The Rat in the Pack Comes Back, and it's about Frank Sinatra and Spiro Agnew and Ronald Reagan, a picture of him putting on the inaugural ball for Ronald Reagan, and this goes into the Westchester Theater, the Premier Theater, and the mob connections of Frank Sinatra and the mob. So here is a company that's being investigated at a time that he's pleaded guilty, and they have him in the office in New York City. Leonard Horowitz, a former vice president of the theater, pleaded guilty to two charges of tax evasion. A third official, Solomon Weiss, an assistant treasurer of the New York-based Warner, is due to go on trial. He's accused of helping conduct a pattern of racketeering activities at the firm. Now, this guy is in New York City working for 20th Century Fox, okay? The government contends that the Warner officials took bribes from the Westchester Premier Theater and in return caused the Warner to buy stock in the theater company, violating the fiduciary duty to Warner. The theater owners were accused of looting the theater's revenue, causing it to go into bankruptcy. Now, here's 20th Century Fox being investigated using the same people. It doesn't make sense to me. Maybe it makes sense to you. I don't know how these corporations run. Emmett was one of the three members of the Warner's Office of the President. He resigned from the company after he pleaded guilty. He's working for them now. Now, another story, if that isn't enough. Los Angeles Times. Fox Studio reports a loss and blames their film division. Fox Studio, which was bought by Marvin Davis, this is July 14th, 1982, operates as a subsidiary of David's private company, the TCF Holding Company, and they also have some very mysterious entanglements in the Antilles that I once did a broadcast on. Although Fox is a privately held company, it is required to make quarterly disclosures to the Security Exchange. Fox's leading banker is Continental Illinois National Trust in Chicago. Now, if you want a little background on, again, connecting Grace Kelly to the Vatican and Ronald Reagan and Michael Sindona, get the book The Final Conclave by Malachi Martin. I've had it on the air many, many times. And Michael Sindona, who's in jail for 25 years for breaking many, many banks, I can give you the amount and the names of them. The Final Conclave has them. Was directly linked with David Kennedy, Richard Nixon, Secretary of the Treasury, to the Continental Illinois. That's as well as the Vatican's Cardinal Cody. January 9, 1952, the Swiss authorities closed Sindona's Finnabank. It had sustained foreign exchange losses of $82 million. He lost $45 million at the Franklin National, $82 million from his Finnabank, and there isn't even enough time. There's 2 minutes left for the list of money that was gone, $150 million from another bank, and his Swiss banks collapsed. But Michael Sindona used David Kennedy, an executive of the Continental in Illinois. 20th Century Fox gets funded of them. Michael Sindona worked closely. He was a banker investment for the Vatican. And as I mentioned last week, Princess Grace's introduction and arrangement for her marriage was made by the Vatican. She knew all these characters. She knows them now. The ones that are dead, she'll see in heaven. The ones that were alive, she worked with. I don't have time to continue the story of 20th Century Fox, the Continental Illinois, the chicanery going on there. I'll have to stop because I have 1 minute. But I think you get the picture. We've done 1 week, a half hour on Princess Grace in the Vatican. Now you get a little picture of the board of directors of 20th Century Fox, the kind of high society she kept. You know, I call that high society. And next week, I'll do a half hour more on Grace and the syndicate and the mob, the comparison to the takeover of the Monte Carlo tables now with the Howard Hughes empire in Vegas when they moved in 1966. In the meanwhile, the hour is up. You do your homework, read some books, send me articles on Kramer or all these different subjects. I appreciate them. I'm getting a lot of new articles every week, and I'll be back with you. This is Mae Brussel, and this is KAZU in Pacific Grove, California.